Well, good morning. We come to the second session, which is rather a long passage, but we still have decided to read the scripture. I think the scripture is more important than what I have to say, and I ask Brother Nick Fleet to read it because he can do it much better than I.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creatures more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and mestest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babies, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonor thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfil the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that concircumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage, then, hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness condemn the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
I would like to add two more verses, one from Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then secondly, Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Dearly beloved, we have read the same sort of statements from God about mankind in the beginning, in Genesis, in the middle of the book, and now in Romans chapter 3. Is that now the end of humanity? No. Thanks to God, it is not so. But we are here now to show why the wrath of God has come upon mankind. You know, in Romans 1:18 to 5:11, it deals with the problem of sins. And from chapter 5, verse 12 onwards, it is the problem of sin. There are two aspects to this. But here in Romans 1:18 to 3:20, we have the wrath of God on every human being. And it starts with that verse 18, which shows what is the character of the wrath of God. It is the opposition of God's nature against all evil. So if you want to know what is wrong, we have to look at God and his nature. And we have read about this unrighteousness. What does that word mean? Unrighteousness means that everything which does not correspond with God's holy nature is unrighteous. You know, all people descend from Noah. We have read, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But now we find that in these chapters, we find three categories of people. The uncivilized people, the civilized people, and the religious people. The uncivilized people is something we find with the pagans. It's used here, the barbarians. They are ungodly, unwise. The civilized people, God is using the Greek at that time as an example for those who were self-righteous, who were wise, who were well-educated. And then finally, the third category are the religious people. And he's using the Jews to illustrate what he means. These are people who have a knowledge of God and his will. And we realize that God is showing these three categories to show that none of them can really reach up to the standard of God and his holiness. The first category, the uncivilized people, there we find that in verses 19 and 20, God says, every man can really recognize that there is a God. And so even if you have no Bible, and you have never heard of Christ, you never have heard of anything which is in this book, God says, and you can still realize that there is a God. And this is a testimony of the creation. You know, there was a day when really people all knew that there is a God. And I'm sure when Noah stepped out of that ark, he was well aware that there is a God, because God brought this flood over mankind. So he told his people, and they told others. So it was a departure from the true God to many idols, not the other way around. They didn't start with the idols. They started with the true God, but they rejected him, and they went and used other things instead of that. So we see number two here, the decline was gradual. It was not just happening overnight. It was gradual. And so our hearts, the hearts of man, became darker and darker as they moved away from the true God. Idolatry already started in the days of Noah, which we find in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And now we find in verses 21 and 23 some of the characteristics. They are called the ungodly. Because you put God aside, you become ungodly. You become unwise, because he's a true wise God. And if you say, I have nothing to do with him, you become unwise. You also become immoral. And you fall into idolatry. You know, somebody said, if you do not believe Genesis chapter 1 to 11, you have really no foundation. There are the foundation for mankind. We find the creation. If you say that there was no creation, what do you have? You have an alternative, and this is the theory of evolution, where evolution puts the creature ahead of the creator. He's more important, the creature, and you set the creator aside. You deny the creator. When you look at marriage, in these chapters, God explains what marriage is, a man and a woman, and that's it. And all these things, and the flood explains many things which today people say it took millions of years so it could have happened. And therefore, the serious thing which we find is if you set God aside, that is a reaction. And God says three times, God has given them up. Give them up to idolatry, give them up to immorality, to the unnatural behavior against nature. He has given up them into violence and corruption. These verses from 29 to 31, what a list of things. God has given them up. He said, well, if you want to go that pathway, I let you go. And today it is very similar in our days. In Luke 18, so I go first to the next slide is the civilized people. And God is using the Greek at that time, and they had some kind of an outward moral code after which they were living. They set up their own rules, and that says, you know, we can't live like the pagans, so we are much better. We have knowledge, we are wise. But the problem was that they were thinking they were much better than the others. But when they criticized the others, they broke their own rules. They set up their rules, but they didn't keep it themselves. And so what is the point? But they were very quickly ready to judge the others. Which people do you belong to? Oh, we don't belong to the pagans. Switzerland is certainly a civilized country. UK is a civilized country, isn't it? So we have nothing to do with the pagans. But our problem is the same, that we have an attitude to judge others. And that's why I wanted to read this, these two verses in Luke 18, where we find also a man who thought, I'm much better than the others, you know? Luke 18 and verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as others, men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even at this publican. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here we have an example. This is exactly what happens. We think we are so much better than the others. And we despise the riches of his goodness. And we think we are in confidence that, you know, we are living up to the standard of what God really expects us. But what we find then in the next verses, in chapter 2, we find that it is not we to judge others, but it is God who is judging us. And his judgment is according to his own nature. It is so important that we understand God's holy nature. That is the standard. And God has made man in his image. He expects you to live up to that standard. And his judgment is according to truth, is according to reality. His judgment is according to someone's work. He cannot excuse himself. God will say, look, you have done this, this, this. This is why I have to judge you. It will be just. God is judging those who are contentious. God judges the Jews first because they had the law. They had a knowledge of God, but he also judges the Greek who had no law. And there is no respect of persons. Whether you have the law or you haven't got the law, whether you're man or woman, whether you're in a civilized or uncivilized society, God's judgment is without respect of persons. In verses 13 to 15, we find a parenthesis, and this parenthesis, we find that it talks about another aspect. Souls who did not have the word, like the Greek, they didn't have the law, but God says, but you have a conscience, and you should know what is good and what is evil, based on your conscience, verse 15. The conscience tells what is good and bad. And that's why, without having the law, you know what is right and what is wrong. You know that stealing is bad. And that's why, eventually, every man will be judged. God will judge the secrets of man, and at the great white throne, everyone who does not accept the Lord Jesus as their own Savior will stand before that judge, and books will be opened. And some people say, you know, when I stand before God, I will tell him. I can tell you, they won't say anything, because everything will be proven by these books, by their deeds, and their name will not be in the book of life. The third category is the one of the religious people, and is using the Jews as an example. It says, they had the testimony of creation. They had the testimony of the conscience. They also had the God-given law. They had some knowledge of God and His will. And they took precedence over all others in relation to God. So they were really privileged that God has revealed Himself to them. And that's why God says, and your sins weigh heavier than that of the Gentiles who knew nothing of God. And isn't that true of Christianity today? You know, we as Christians have the privilege to have the Word of God, who knows something about Christ. Here it says in verse 25 to 29, can also be applied to us Christians. Many have an external ecclesiastical form, such as a baptism. Yeah, you have to be baptized or have a confirmation. Some even still think it is important to them to have a church wedding, and so on. They count themselves Christian, but they have not experienced true conversion or new birth. But even for us, dearly beloved, there is a danger that we have much knowledge of the truth. And there's a danger that we can be proud of it, that we are the ones who are practicing the truth, who know the truth. But the question is, do we also practice it in every aspect? So here in these chapters, God says, don't be proud. You have a privilege to be a Jew, but don't be proud of it. Your responsibility is great, and the same applies to us. The more you know about the truth, the higher responsibility will be. The Jews were also confident. They had the confidence to belong to the right religion. I said, we have the right religion. But you know, when you talk to the Muslim, he says exactly the same. We have the right religion. Islam is the right religion. He's exactly the same confidence on having the right religion. And when you look how they are fighting for their religion, we are really ashamed. What are we doing to fight for the truth? But you know, at the end in verse 29, it talks about the circumcision of heart. What does that mean? It means simply obedience to the will of God. It is a matter, finally, of the heart, whether we are true. And so, in chapter 3, we have some very critical questions. The apostle, he asks these critical questions on behalf of the Jews, and he answers them according to God. Yes, there is an advantage to be a Jew. There is an advantage to have a knowledge of the true God. But then he asks, can you argue with God? Who are you that you think you can stand up and argue with God? Don't forget, no one can ever influence the righteousness and faithfulness of God in any way. People think they can argue with these things. But you know, God will always have the last word. And even today we find so many times where people take a word against God. They want to stand up and think, you know, we can fight him. We can tell him. But they all will be silenced. God will always have the last word. So what is the conclusion? In verse 9, it says that they, God says, now I've explained all three classes of mankind, that they are all under sin. Period. And in verse 10 and onwards, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What a statement of God at the end. All of you are guilty. There is no loophole. Do we realize that? None can escape. And in this compilation of these verses, it is like a net, which is so fine that the smallest fish cannot find a loophole to escape. God has explained it. That's why we read this portion. It is God's statement about mankind, and he has proven it, what it is all about. Why has sin come into this world? What is the matter of sins? It is a consequence of our negative attitude, or man's negative attitude towards God, and a rejection of God. Yeah, if you put God aside, you're open to all these things. And we are living in a world, dearly beloved, where God is truly rejected in our countries. The so-called civilized countries, the so-called Christian countries, God is set aside and it opens up to all these things. The laws, which 50 years ago I went to school and I learned the laws of the civil laws of Switzerland, and I was astonished at that time how many things are based on Scripture. Marriage had to be consist of a man and a woman. The man was the head of the family, and all these things were right there in the law of Switzerland. But today, all has changed because the way we live has changed. We have set God aside. What does that mean? Because all men are guilty before God. Each one of them also urgently needs the salvation offered by God. How wonderful that we don't stop here. This is a very dark picture of what man is all about. But now this leads on to what God has provided. And let us enjoy what God has for